Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the generous support of Meyer Bramley Insurance, serving Illinois, Missouri, and Kansas. Meyer Bramley Insurance can be reached online at mbi.agency or via phone at 844-890-2626. Catholic Conversations, where we talk about faith, family, and finance.
We are back, Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. You're listening to us here in Bloomington. Try us on 92.5. It might be a little bit clearer. As always, you can check out our podcast on Podbean or on the website, CatholicSpiritRadio.com. We have a couple great guests today. I guess actually a few great guests, not a couple. David Nybocki, Tina
Betcher,
and Pam Smith. I got the Pam Smith one. That was easy. They are spiritual directors here in Bloomington Normal, and so they were gracious enough to come in and talk to us a little bit about spiritual direction. I've actually been going to spiritual direction here in town now for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. So I know one of the things that we typically always do in my spiritual direction is start with a prayer. So maybe we should kick this radio program off with a prayer. Would one of you like to?
Sure. Gracious and loving God, we thank you so much for the blessings of this day. We thank you for the gift of Catholic Spirit Radio and the opportunity to be here today to talk about spiritual direction and how it can enhance and help us grow in our spiritual life and our relationship with you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I again appreciate you guys coming out and doing the radio show with us. We really appreciate it. Pam, thank you for kicking us off with a prayer. What's kind of the background of spiritual direction?
It's a very ancient tradition. It goes back to the desert fathers and desert mothers, monastic life. It's a very ancient tradition, and we're very fortunate to continue to bring it forward, and we've been able to be directing people. We were commissioned by the Peoria Diocese of Peoria, a couple of different years apart, the three of us, but it's been a wonderful ministry for us to be involved with.
What would somebody who's never heard of spiritual direction, what would kind of be some of the first thoughts you would give them as to maybe some of the benefits or the process? Or
well, I usually meet with people before we go into a session just to talk about what it is and what it's not. It's not counseling. You know, we want people to know that if things come up like addictions and stuff, that needs to be dealt with a counselor. What we're looking for is to become more aware of how God is moving in our lives and where God is moving in our lives, and for us to be more open to that and act on that in our lives.
Awesome. What would be some other if somebody was listening and again, they were just trying to figure out if this was right for them, is there any specific types of things that you guys like to have conversations about? I know when Deacon Cy and I meet, my prayer life is always the number one topic of concern. Of course, maybe that's my shortcoming.
Oh, no. Everybody talks about that because
okay.
That's how we talk to God and God talks to us.
Yeah. And it's my shortcoming, too. So.
Prayer life is a very important aspect of all of our lives, and a part of the surroundings that we try to create in our places that we meet is a safe space where prayer is very much what we do. It's opening ourselves up to the third chair in the room, if you will, Jesus being the Holy Spirit being there present. While we talk about prayer life or a direction in one's life, decisions, choices that they're trying to make and discern to be better open to God.
And how did you guys get involved in spirit? Were you spiritual directees previously?
Yes.
I see a lot of head shaking.
Yes.
And then just wanted to kind of pay that back, or kind of what was that process for you, Pam?
It was a discernment process in that, excuse me, I had been been involved with spiritual direction probably 10 years before I began discerning whether or not I wanted to be a spiritual director. And I felt that call. I felt I was really examining sort of post-retirement what I was going to do in terms of my vocation. And I'd been discerning for quite a long time about what ministry I felt called to. And having been involved in spiritual direction for over 10 years, I felt it was a place where I could help people grow in their relationship with God, to see where God's more active in their life. And over the 5 years that I've been involved as a spiritual director, I've seen people basically come for three reasons, which is a question you asked a minute ago. One is to improve spiritual practices to help them increase their relationship or deepen their relationship with Jesus and God. For discernment, whether it's you know, something short-term or long-term, and then also in dealing with suffering. That's a common, those are the three common trends that I see. And I felt that I could be helpful for people in dealing with all three of those issues.
Yeah, when you say, what would you say to someone who's thinking about it? I would say, that's amazing because God's already called you. If you're thinking about it, you're already being called, so act on it.
Yeah, somebody had made an interesting similar statement to me just about prayer in general, in that if you think about prayer, then God's already called you to prayer. And so when I don't even remember who I had that conversation with, but it's those, to me anyway, when it always strikes me as, especially, those nights laying in bed when I'm already tired and it's late, and I feel that, like, oh, I should pray, but I'm tired. And then I remember, like, that whole, if you're thinking about prayer, God is calling you to a conversation with Him. And so, I get that good, like, Catholic guilt really laid on my soul when I'm like, oh, God, really? I'm tired. It's late. I'm already in bed. So spiritual direction is very similar.
Yeah, yeah. And, when you say your rosary or something at night and you fall asleep, what do they say?
That you fall asleep in Mary's arms? Or
yeah, your guardian angel finishes it for you.
I always fall asleep saying the rosary. That's actually how I try and get my kids to go to bed at night, too. The boys are insane. We have three little boys, four, three, and one. And they won't lay still to go to sleep. And, they bounce around. And they won't, of course, sleep in their own beds by themselves. They all want to sleep in the same bed together. So there's just a constant kicking and pulling. And so I always try, or not always, but most nights, try to lay down with them. And all right, we're going to say the rosary, in hopes that after the fifth decade they're asleep, which typically I have to go six for the three-year-old because he is the most stubborn that there is. But I often fall asleep saying the rosary. It is probably one of my favorite things to, on those nights when you lay awake in bed and you can't fall asleep. Typically that rosary will knock you out pretty quick.
God brings rest when you need it, right?
That's right. You got to kind of clear your mind a little bit. So you guys were all involved in spiritual direction previous. Pam, and obviously all heard the call. Pam, I really like the story that you told us. What would you say, and again, as far as the three reasons that people really come to talk to a spiritual director, what's kind of that process look like? Well, I guess, first of all, is it a Catholic-only group?
No.
No. Okay.
Well, as David said, spiritual direction really started back in the 3rd century.
Sure.
So it's been moving forward, and it was sort of the form and function that we know it today was really solidified by St. Ignatius in the 15th century. And I would say that in the last 100 years, it's becoming more prevalent in Protestant traditions as well as the Catholic tradition.
They love taking all our good stuff.
I actually entered into spiritual direction as a directee before converting to Catholicism.
Yeah, me too.
And so it's been a very much a blessing to be able to move into the Catholic tradition, more deeper into the Catholic tradition with spiritual direction. But yes, I entered it as a non-Catholic. and eventually converted.
Awesome. What was that? How long ago did you convert?
It was 2005.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Is it an interesting story?
I've been on this journey really only a relatively short time. I mean, 1998, I was involved with a program here in McLean County, Leadership McLean County, and I met up with some wonderful people who were filled with the Holy Spirit. They drew me in, if you will. I saw what they had, and I says, I would like some of that. And next thing, I was going to church. I was not going to church. Next thing, I was baptized. I wasn't baptized before then. You know, one thing continued to lead another thing, and the Holy Spirit guiding my footsteps. But I was involved with a national program, they required a spiritual director. So I've had a spiritual director since 1999. And when I entered into the church, there was a call for the diaconate program, and I had some friends that were deacons, and I thought that was really interesting, but there's way too much stuff for me to handle on that level. Next thing I heard was they were putting together a spiritual direction program, and like a light bulb on top of my head, I want that. I'm signing up for that. And so here I am. It's been a blessing ever since.
Fantastic. I know, I think, because I converted in 2009 and, made my conversion, started in 08 and then Easter of 2009 converted. But I think one of the blessings, at least for myself specifically and for a lot of people that I know convert, I think to me it allows us a very clearly defined historical path when we look back and we look at very specific events that we took in our life that were clearly shaped, you know, through the Holy Spirit. That, you know, I think a lot of, at least again for myself anyway, I think a lot of times it allows us to really be more solidified in that belief of the Holy Spirit and guiding our path, just because we have a very clearly kind of defined path. You know, we had to come to where we're at today and the way God's using us today, you know, through being a spiritual director and those types of things. And we, at least again, for me, I look back and I go, man, I wouldn't be here doing, you know, XYZ, Catholic Spirit Radio and all those types of things if ABC hadn't happened. And for me, that's always been a great blessing as a convert to be able to see some of those very clearly defined moments. You know,
we're part of a bigger story. And I think that that's one of the wonderful blessings of being baptized that we sometimes forget about, that our story is becoming part of this story, you know, the larger story. And it's a beautiful thing to remember, to treasure. And that's a significant part of spiritual direction, is to continue to help declutter our thoughts, our minds, so that we can once again be attuned to that Spirit working in our lives, that we can see the historical markers that we are on a journey. And with seeing those markers, we're able to make, we hope, better decisions, or decisions that will allow us to get closer to God, to feel His love, and to be love for our families, for ourselves, for our families, and for our community.
We're having a great conversation today on Catholic Spirit Radio with David Nybocki and Tina Betcher.
But you got it.
I got it. And I shouldn't even doubt it myself. And Pam, is it Smith?
Yes.
I got that one too. Pam Smith, who are all spiritual directors here. You're all here in town, right?
Yes.
But through the Peoria Diocese, you're listening to Catholic Spirit Radio, Catholic Conversations with Jason. I wonder what are some, or maybe the nuts and bolts. So for somebody who hasn't been to spiritual direction, what's just kind of the nuts and bolts of what they would expect? Typically when I go, well, Deacon Cy always tries to limit me to an hour, but he also usually doesn't have anything afterwards. So it typically an hour, right? 45
yes.
minutes to an hour. But what are kind of some of the nuts and bolts that people would expect?
With each person, their spirituality is different. So if you go into it expecting something or to get something out of it, you're expecting what someone else told you. But there's a framework in a session. So typically when I meet with people, and I know we use some of the same things, we start with you know, just come on in and sit down and kind of, you know, how's your day, like that. And then we go into some silent prayer, and that can stretch on for a while if they want. But some people are very uncomfortable with silent prayer.
Yeah, that is always the very shortest part of my hour.
Yes. And so then the person who comes in that I'm sitting with will tell me that, if they're comfortable with it or not. And then we go into talking about where God is moving in their lives, where they see the Spirit. And sometimes if you don't, I just encourage them to look for, where do you find peace? Where are you finding peace? Where are you experiencing love in your life? Because God is love, and that's what we're looking for. And then we talk a little bit about that. We will probably ask questions about, you know, what's going on. And then we have some more silent or relaxing time. Now, like you, when I go, I'm going the entire time.
Yeah, I came prepared to talk when
yes,
I get.
I have my notes, my prayer journals right
not,
there.
I might not be that ready, but I'm ready to talk.
Yeah, yeah. Well, some people are, and then you just go with that because you're very aware that the Spirit is moving right there at that moment, at that place, with you and the person you're sitting with, and the Holy Spirit, Jesus. A lot of people like to, you know, say Jesus is right here, and we're experiencing Him. What's happening?
I think an important part of the process is to prepare and anticipate. So as one looks forward to a spiritual direction session, it wouldn't be typical to just walk in the door and say, hey, what do you want to talk about today? It should require some kind of reflection and prayer for a week or so ahead of time. What is it that God wants to reveal to me? What is it that God wants me to reflect on? Where is God leading me? What's the issue that's stirring inside me that I need to pay some attention to? When we go into spiritual direction, there's really three people: the directee, the director, and the Holy Spirit. And it's up to the directee to decide what the topic is for the day. We don't go to spiritual direction like going to meet with the Shell Answer Man. It's a matter of, I have to pay attention of where I think God's leading me or what He's doing in my world. And that's what I present to the directors, what I want to examine that day and reflect upon. And so, as Tina said, there's sort of this process of checking in, prayer, and it goes back to a response and call of reflection, silence, questions, reflection, silence, questions, and prayer. And the directee is really the one that leads that, in the sense that it's up to the directee to decide what it is they want to present and talk about on that day. And the spiritual director, with the help of the Holy Spirit, will respond to that. So we never really know what the topic's going to be when somebody comes in the door. And I think over time, several people that I've met with have felt like there's going to be a workbook we're going to work through, or they're going to get homework. And that's not the case, because it's their spiritual journey. It's their relationship with God. Foundation to all of that is prayer, and where we go is largely in their hands when they present what they want to talk about.
Workbooks are typically easier than internal reflection.
Exactly.
It's much cleaner, not messy. Mm-hmm.
And there's little ownership.
Well, that is true. One of the things that I really get a lot out of are checkpoints in our faith, and I think for me the confessional and my Crucio reunion group and then spiritual direction really give good checkpoints at you know, hopefully very consistent intervals. And so I'd like to talk a little bit more about that, but we're going to have to take a quick break. You're listening to Catholic Spirit Radio on 89.5 Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley and our three great guests today, David Nyabaki, Tina Betcher, and Pam Smith.
You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5.
I learned how many people we could help and how good you feel after you've helped others.
I know Lent is about giving, so I want to give.
These kids are talking about CRS Rice Bowl, a Lenten program known by generations of Catholic families. Children love it because because they experience different cultures and gain a lasting impression of the people they are helping. You can bring CRS Rice Bowl into your home and experience the joy of seeing your children or grandchildren find new meaning in Lent. Visit crsricebowl.org to get started.
Rice Bowl inspired me to pray more and to pray for those who are less fortunate.
We are back, Catholic Spirit Radio. You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley, again on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. Check us out on catholicspiritradio.com. You can listen to all of our old podcasts, and we appreciate you being here with us again this week. We've got the gospel coming up in our third segment, and lucky for us, we have three very well-informed and enlightened Catholics here. Our spiritual directors are going to give us some of their reflections on what looks to be a very long gospel. David Nybocki, Tina Betcher, and Pam Smith are in the studio with us today. And so, again, we appreciate them for coming in. They're all spiritual directors here in the Peoria Diocese, and we've been having a great conversation on what spiritual direction is. We touched briefly on kind of what it is not, and so we might want to just talk about that a little bit more. But first, I think let's go back to the discernment for spiritual direction, not as a direct or, but as a directee. If folks are listening right now and they think that this might be a benefit for them spiritually, what would be maybe some thoughts that you would give them to help direct that discernment before they, you know, maybe reach out to find a spiritual director?
So discernment is really a huge umbrella. And what you just said, it would be discerning whether or not I should find a spiritual director. And we talked a little bit about that in terms of being called. It's a way to deepen your faith, a way to deepen your relationship with God, not you, but all of us. And so if somebody's ready for that, then it's a great step to take. But not everybody's ready for it. Not everybody's interested in it. And sometimes there are other mitigating factors in someone's life that would mean that maybe they should do some pastoral counseling first or do some other counseling or do some work with a confessor. So discernment might be coming to spiritual direction, but then the whole process of discernment. You know, usually people think about discernment in terms of something big in their life. Should I be a priest? Should I go to college? Should I go into a trade? Should I get married? Should I, you know, blah, 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 blah. But really, discernment is every day. And we need to look for how God is working in our life every day, how the movement is there every day, how we can increase our awareness, because the big discernment pieces are made up of little discernment steps. It isn't just, it just doesn't happen. You just don't figure it out at one moment. It's a process that unfolds, sort of like a flower opening in the spring, the petals coming down one at a time. It's a step-by-step process, and depending on what it is, it could take a couple weeks to work through, or it could take a couple years to work through.
I think one of the important things to note, too, for a lot of folks, to your point exactly about the big things, I think a lot of times we get to the big things and so then we begin to maybe specifically pray or to attempt to discern on those types of things. And I know in my experience become frustrated when we don't hear the answers or either that we think we should hear or we just don't feel like we're getting any answers. And I think to your point about discerning every day, a lot of times that we're not hearing probably because we don't know what we're listening for. We're not used to having that daily prayer, that daily discernment. And so God may be talking to us, but we don't know his voice. And so so to your point about an ongoing discernment for our lives, as opposed to just, hey, I wonder if I should get married or do these big things. And then we get frustrated because we're like, I don't know, God's not telling me anything.
Well, you know, God doesn't come to us on Catholic radio or the TV or in an email. I mean, it's not just this one burst of a moment.
No, I mean, that would be easier for me, Pam.
Well, no, it would be easier for all of us. But that isn't what happens. Is what St. Ignatius believed, and I think is so important, is that God comes to us in our ordinary life, our everyday life, and he presents himself to us through quiet moments, quiet whispers, the people that we interact with, the experiences that we have, our desires, our attributes, our skills. And he calls us to, one of the ways that we can begin to understand how he calls us in a discernment process is, what feels right for us? Where do we feel that our skills, our abilities, our interests, our desires, our gifts can be used? That's one of the ways God draws us in. And so in order to understand that, we have to know ourselves a little bit, and that comes from reflective learning. And we also have to have the silence where God can speak to us. I've had people say to me, well, God never talks to me. And I just want to say, I don't, but you got to stop talking so God can talk to you. You know, talking to God is a two-way conversation like it is with anybody that we're close and intimate with. It's you talk, you listen, they talk, they listen, and it's a back and forth. It's not just sometimes the greatest prayer can just be present to God and not even have anything to say, just to simply be present. So through those awarenesses in our daily life of the people, the experiences, our desires, and our attitudes, and what our skills are, then we can see where we're being called, and we can watch for that, and we can learn for where we may be seeing the messages from God about where we may be drawn to. And that, so that helps us discern every day and helps us develop the skills for awareness and attentiveness to see him in the bigger picture too, the longer, bigger decisions.
Gotcha. How many or how often for somebody that, again, that's thinking, hey, this is probably would be a benefit in my life, how often does a directee typically come to spiritual direction?
How many sessions?
Do they come weekly or monthly?
They come once a month.
Once a month.
Generally speaking, and it's, 50 minutes to an hour. We try to structure a format to help the process work. In what Pam and Tina have already said, kind of a small intro of where you're standing, where you're at currently, right now, some silence, some prayer, some question, reflection, more prayer, silence, more questions, silence. And that's usually the routine of a session, a spiritual direction session. I just wanted to elaborate just a little bit more on the discernment process, and that is simply becoming prayer. What Pam so beautifully described in the discernment process is really a life of prayer. And there's really nothing more than being the life of Jesus. That's what your gospel reading is going to reflect. Eventually, it's always about prayer. And spiritual direction, we hope, helps one have that life of prayer all the time, not just simply before a meal or after a meal or before bed, but that actually we're consciously being attentive to God, and in that, it's being participating in the holy conversation with God. Wow. I mean, wouldn't I like to be more in tune with God all the time? Some of the mystics talk about breathing becoming a prayer, the breath bringing in God, exhaling your stuff out, opening yourself up so that that holy conversation impacts you. You're being touched. Your gifts are being drawn out for yourself, but more importantly, for other people. So really, spiritual direction has an awful lot to offer a lot of people who may yet have no clue about the art ministry of spiritual direction.
Yeah, I know that, again, for myself specifically, I had converted and then went to Curcio. The Curcio, a lot of people that are listening, I'm sure, have been or have some idea. For those that don't, the concept of Curcio is that we lead a faith life that's built on a tripod of action and prayer and
study.
Study. Thank you. And I've been to Curcio twice, and the first time I felt like I really grasped the action part of that, and to be honest, kind of left with or over the few months, year leading after that, I'm just going to do the action really well, and then, you know, my tripod will stand on the one leg. And then went back to Curcio, and the second time when I went back was really much more touched with the study aspect and became, you know, so then my tripod had the two legs, and I learned a lot more about my Catholic faith and did a lot of reading and those types of things. And, but then felt called to, you know, all right, you have to pray more. You know, that's what the Holy Spirit was calling me to. Hey, it's a tripod. You know, and so that's when I reached out to my spiritual director, and that really helped to increase my prayer life, hold me accountable to some degree for prayer. And I think, and that's what I was going to touch on before the break, is that for me specifically, in my conversion to the Catholic Church, and what I think are some of the very great benefits that we have here locally, that are, you know, first of all, some of them are baked into Catholicism, the confessional, and then others, you know, such as spiritual direction or our Curcio groups and those types of things are somewhat outside of, you know, the finite guidelines of the Catholic Church. They're extra fruits. But for me personally, I've always said that when I started going to confession, it was the, you know, like, it was just the very high level, right? There were things now that I see as sinful that I didn't see as sinful then, because I wasn't close enough spiritually to the confessional to recognize that they were even sins, right? So I'd go and I was like, I don't know. I yelled at my kids, right? I was like the 8-year-old going to confession. I was like, I don't know. I yelled at my brother and like my mom and dad, I lied to them and I didn't clean my room. I mean, so I've always said that, the closer that I am, literally in time, to the confessional, one, the harder it is to sin, because it's more cognitive in my life. Like, hey, dude, you just went. You're kind of clean right now. Like, let's try and keep that white robe type of, you know. And then once your robe gets dirty, you're like, let's just, you know, we might as well wear it outside to play football because it's already dirty. Kind of, you know, in a very crude metaphor. However, I feel the same way about my reunion group. I feel like I get more out of my Curcio reunion group than I did out of the weekend, because again, it's that constant time lapse of accountability, and the same with my spiritual director. And so I would definitely encourage, if I think, and again, my, you know, my life is not necessarily what all others should want to live up to be. However, I think that having those accountability partners in life, and specifically for our prayer life and for, you know, confessional and sin and all those types of things, are great benefits that the Catholic Church brings to us. But to your point, I know you brought up earlier, I think, Pam, that spiritual direction is not some of those other things, specifically the confessional and pastoral care. And just so that folks understand maybe what exactly it is and isn't, what is pastoral care? Like, if somebody said, or pastoral counseling, I think is the phrase that you, so what is spiritual direction? I think we pretty much covered, or, you know, got a good grasp on that. That's helping us to, you know, look inside, see the Holy Spirit in our lives, help with our prayer life. If you talk to somebody that said, or that told you something, you're like, you know what, you should probably speak with either a counselor or pastoral counseling, not anything specific, but like, what would that type of conversation be?
I mean, an example of a referral that I would make to a priest or a deacon or a member of the religious would be if it was something that was a matter of the church, of the faith,
okay,
that they struggled with doctrine, you know, I might be able to cite what I know about it, but I'm not the expert on necessarily the theology, the tradition of the church, the magisterium that would require some deeper background, and someone that's been trained in pastoral care, which is usually clergy or religious, could do that.
Perfect. Okay. And then just to cover some very what I, you know, very specific points that I've thought of, just so that folks are aware, because I'm sure after this conversation that there's going to be a lot of folks that are interested in spiritual direction. It's very self-directed. I mean, obviously, they have to work within your guys' schedule. This isn't the only thing that you're doing. But it's very self-directed as far as a time frame and how often, you know, if they can't make it on the fourth Wednesday of every month, you know, it's a very fluid type of setup. You guys are trained as spiritual directors and somewhat regulated kind of by the diocese, right? You said the office of the permanent diaconate. And so it's not like just talking to your neighbor. Any other very specific? Oh, it's extremely confidential. People don't have to worry about, you know, the three of you don't get together every other morning and at McDonald's and talk about like, hey, wait till you hear what this guy said.
No.
And so, if they want to get more information or if they want to try to find a spiritual director, what would be kind of their avenue?
There's a Spiritual Directors International. SDI website, they can go to www.sdiworld.org.
Okay.
And you can put in where you are and look for spiritual directors that are listed there. Like Pam said, you can call the diocesan office, the diaconate, and they can give you a list. If you're involved in Curcio, you're getting a list. So you have some ideas of where to go there. And a lot of our bulletins may have information and our pastors have information.
Fantastic. Well, again, I wanted to just hit some of those probably, at least for me, that were kind of high-level questions just to make sure, you know, folks had a good grasp going in, you know, what to expect. I again, want to really appreciate you guys coming. We've been talking to David Nybocky, Tina Betcher, and Pam Smith about spiritual direction and really what some of the great benefits are in our lives that we've received from spiritual direction. I can't imagine the amount of benefit that you receive as a director. It tends to be, as with all good things, when you give to others, you typically get more back than you ever give. And so I'm sure that spiritual direction is the same way. So again, I want to really thank you guys for coming. We're going to do a quick advertisement. What do we call them? Underwriting break. Thank you. You're listening to Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 or 92.5 in Bloomington, Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley. Check our podcast out on CatholicSpiritRadio.com.
You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5.
Hi, I'm James. I'm 13 and I listen to Catholic Spirit Radio. I'm into technology, so my dad took me to see the Catholic Spirit Radio Broadcast Tower. It was a very cool experience. When I listened to Catholic Spirit Radio, I learned stuff about the church and the faith. My family listens a lot when we're in the car or just at home. Sometimes they go to the website to get movie reviews or just to check the community calendar for teen events. I think other teens would really like listening to Catholic Spirit Radio, too.
Tell your teens about 89.5 and 92.5 FM, the free Catholic Spirit Radio app, its Facebook page, plus the website at CatholicSpiritRadio.com. Catholic Spirit Radio is a valuable resource for teens as well as adults.
Thanks for supporting your local Catholic radio station. Donate online at CatholicSpiritRadio.com.
We are back. Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. or 92.5 in Bloomington Normal. Check us out on the website, CatholicSpiritRadio.com. And as always, if you loved hearing this show, or if you didn't love hearing the show and you want to pay John to keep me off the air, I'm sure he'd take checks and consider that as a benefit as well. You can always send any help is appreciated to Catholic Spirit Radio at 108 Boykins Place, Normal, Illinois, 61761. I've been doing this for a year and 5 months. And I've finally nailed both the website and the address. We don't have a phone number, do we? Oh, my goodness. We're not even going to try and tackle that. We want to cover a couple more things real quick before we hop into the gospel, and it is a long one, so we're going to have to get there. for folks who have been listening, we've had three great guests in with us today, David Nybocky, Tina Betcher, and Pam Smith, who are all spiritual directors here through the Diocese of Peoria, but all three locally here in Bloomington. If you want to get more information or if you want to try and find a spiritual director, we would definitely ask that you try to contact somebody a few different ways. If your local parish bulletin has information in it or your local parish priest, obviously would be a great reference. You could check out Spiritual Directors International, which is at SDI, which stands for Spiritual Directors International, SDIWorld.org, or they are on Facebook, or you can contact the Peoria Diocese Office of the Permanent Diaconate, and they will hook you up as well. You can contact the local Curcio community, and they have a list as well, or you could go to Curcio, and they'll give you a list for free. So all kinds of great ways. We wanted to cover one other thing, too, before we got back to the gospel. That we had talked about a little bit during the break, Pam?
We talked about going to spiritual direction on sort of a routine basis. It's most common that it's a month, but people's schedules, that might not line up. So it could be every 6 weeks, every quarter, whatever makes sense for that person in their life. But what is not helpful in terms of spiritual direction is if we pursue spiritual direction only at a time of crisis. While it may help for that crisis, it really doesn't address the basic issue of spiritual direction, which is to grow in our faith, grow in our prayer life, and deepen our relationship with Jesus. So if we only go during times of crisis, it's the crisis that becomes sort of the guide as opposed to deepening a relationship with Jesus. So we really encourage some kind of routine schedule. It doesn't need to be like the third Monday of the month or anything like that, but just something around 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever works best for one's life.
Awesome. Very, very good advice and very good information. Again, I want to thank you guys for coming today. We're going to jump into the Gospel of Mark here. But again, thank you so much for coming. I know spiritual direction has played a very important role in my life, and helping me at least attempt to be a better prayer warrior. I'm better now than I was when I started, so I guess that's a positive. But let's jump into the Gospel of Mark. We're going to go ahead and do the quote-unquote short version, even though it's the longer, I mean, it's longer than normal. But it's Mark chapter 15, verses 1 through 39. As soon as morning came, the chief priests with the elders and the scribes, that is, the whole Sanhedrin, held a council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate questioned him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He said to him in reply, "You say so." The chief priests accused him of many things. Again, Pilate questioned him, "Have you no answer? See how many things they accuse you of." Jesus gave him no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now on the occasion of the feast, he used to release to them one prisoner whom they requested. A man called Barabbas was then in prison, along with the rebels who had committed murder in a rebellion. The crowd came forward and began to ask him to do for them as he was accustomed. Pilate answered, "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that it was out of envy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate again said to them in reply, "Then what do you want me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" They shouted again, "Crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" They only shouted louder, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and after he had Jesus scourged, handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is, the praetorium, and assembled the whole cohort. They clothed him in purple, and wearing a crown of thorns, placed it on him. They began to salute him with, "Hail, King of the Jews," and kept striking his head with a reed and spitting upon him. They knelt before him in homage. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak, dressed him in his clothes, and led him out to crucify him. They pressed into service a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. They brought him to the place of Golgotha, which is translated place of the skull. They gave him wine drugged with myrrh, but he did not take it. Then they crucified him and divided his garments by casting lots for them to see what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." With him they crucified two revolutionaries, one on his right and one on his left. Those passing by reviled him, shaking their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself by coming down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests with the scribes mocked him among themselves and said, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also kept abusing him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of the bystanders who heard it said, "Look, he is calling Elijah." One of them ran, soaked a sponge with wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see if Elijah comes to take him down." Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. The veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. When the centurion who stood facing him saw how he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." The Gospel according to Mark. All right, so this is like, you guys got here for the week of the heavy hitter. Mm-hmm. Thoughts?
I saw Pam writing a bunch of notes here.
I did too. I can see her out of the corner of my eye. I'm like, oh man.
She shows us all up here.
Well, you know, my reaction to this gospel reading has changed so much over the years, where I would have just listened to it 15 years ago. It has become a very emotional experience for me. And I've been to the Holy Land twice, and I've walked the Via Dolorosa twice, and I've walked from the Praetorium, and I've walked carrying the cross, and I've walked to Golgotha, and I've been at the point where he was crucified, where he died, and where he was buried. And so it's very hard for me to listen to this gospel reading and just not have a cut to my gut, because I can put myself literally in that place, because I've been there, I felt it. And it's no longer an intellectual sort of response for me. It's very visceral. And so, you know, what do I take from it? I can have that immediate reaction, but what do I take from it, and what do I think God's asking me to do? And I think of all the accusations that were being thrown around and how it's like our world today. Everybody's accusing everybody of everything and pointing fingers, and there's so much anger and screaming and yelling and this crowd mentality. And through all that, Jesus was silent. He showed us how to behave. He didn't fight. He didn't speak. He just showed love and compassion to others. And so the other piece that I take from it is literally peace, that God doesn't tell us there's not going to be pain and suffering and fear and horrible things, but he does promise to be with us. And so that when Jesus says, "Why have you forsaken me?" I think that's a challenge for all of us to remember that God doesn't forsake us. We just may not see him, but he is with us, and he will walk on the journey.
Yeah, I know as a sinner, I always really enjoy, I guess, to some extent, or at least for me, it becomes very easy, or it becomes easier to try to relate to Christ through the passion. In two instances, one when he prays in the Garden of Gethsemane and he asks, you know, his father to let the cup pass before him, because I think that's a very natural human reaction. And then also, you know, when he asks, "Why have you forsaken me?" Because I feel like we constantly as sons and daughters of God a lot of times feel that way You know, why do I have to endure this? Why have you forsaken me? Why can't I hear you? Where are you at? It becomes very, to me anyway, it's one of the gospels or one of the stories in Jesus' life that for me, it's easier to relate to because he takes on more of my characteristics than, you know, when he's flipping over tables and performing miracles and being an awesome Jesus. You know, he's much more he's much more open to who I am at that time. I know we touched on suffering earlier, and we just barely touched on the fact that people come to spiritual direction when they have suffering. And, you know, again, as a convert, I think that there's nothing more beautiful in this world than suffering. Now that I see that through my Catholic glasses, and I think that that's why all people should understand Catholicism, because in my experience, there's not any other Christian denomination that understands suffering, accepts it for what it is, and understands the beauty of tying that suffering to the cross. I think a lot of times we try to, at least again in my experience as a Protestant and the Protestant churches that I went to, we always wanted to talk about the happy days. We never wanted to talk about the bad days. And it was always the happy days that'll get you through the bad days. As a Catholic, we're called to suffer constantly. I mean, I tell people all the time, this world's really crappy. There's not much great about it. We're called to suffer because Jesus was called to suffer. And I think that, you know, for a lot of folks, I love looking around the back of the church when we are called to yell, crucify him, right? And nobody does. And I've always wanted to just shout it and see how uncomfortable other people felt about it. But when you think about it, every sin that we create, we're crucifying. We're yelling, crucify him every time we create a sin. We're adding a thorn to that crown. So anyway, I wanted your guys' reflection. So I apologize for going on and on. But the one thing that I didn't know that I think I learned last Easter that I thought was super interesting was Barabbas. Barabbas means son of the father. Barabbas. That's the translation. And again, I mean, maybe that's something that I should have learned day one in Catholic school, but I was a convert. And so, you know, the Bible always gets me with those little like, oh man, really? That it's just the beauty that is, you know, the foreshadowing and everything in the Bible and just those little things like that the crowd was chanting that they wanted the Son of the Father released to them. Son of the Father, when Jesus is the true Son of the Father. So anyway, how about you, Pam? Or I'm sorry.
I'm Tina.
Tina, how about you?
when you said that our sins are crucifying Jesus, this is what really jumped out at me hearing it this time, hearing you read it, was envy and sarcasm, how powerful they were and how that kept coming up in this reading. And the other thing is, people sometimes think about Jesus as a very passive, you know, not a very assertive person, but his strength to walk that walk is enormous. Just like we're asked to forgive, it is so much easier to run away and have that cup passed away from you or stop whatever it is than to follow and say, yes, I will forgive. And he forgave, you know, as it goes on, the other thief being crucified.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I think going on with that, there's the asking for forgiveness. It's the strength of Jesus that allows him to be in a position to forgive. We could run away, avoid, fleet, you know, fly away. But the other alternative is joining the crowd. And every time we're sinning, just we're crucifying him. And just think about that. All of a sudden, confession it comes to you at a much deeper level when you realize that what we're doing is we're joining the crowd in the passion, crucifying Jesus. So these sins, starting with the simplest, smallest sins to the larger ones, it really need to be thought of in that level. Once you do that, then you go to confession and you hear and be resolved of these. Suddenly there is truly the weight of that being lifted off your shoulders. So it puts significance, meaning into our Catholic faith that it would be lovely if more people felt that, because the Catholic faith does have these tools, these ways to help us live in the footsteps of Jesus.
Absolutely. Well, again, real quick, I just want to thank you guys for coming. We've been listening to David Nybocky, Tina Betcher, and Pam Smith, who are spiritual directors here in Bloomington out of the Peoria Diocese. As with every spiritual direction meeting, we open in prayer and close in prayer. And so, David, would you like to close us in prayer?
Thank you, Lord, for this day, for your Son. We thank you for the blessings that you've been able to bestow on each of us. We thank you for Catholic Radio Spirit Radio, and we look forward to the Easter Sunday coming right around the corner. We pray all this in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Again, thank you guys for coming. You've been listening to Catholic Spirit Radio, Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley, our three great guests today. As always, if you want to listen to us twice, you can listen at 3 o'clock and 3 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday. Check us out on our podcast, CatholicSpiritRadio.com, and send any donations for Easter to John Hall at 108 Boykins Place in care of Catholic Spirit Radio. Normal, Illinois, 61761.
You've been listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the generous support of Meyer Bramley Insurance, serving Illinois, Missouri, and Kansas. Meyer Bramley Insurance can be reached online at mbi.agency or via phone at 844-890-2626. Catholic Conversations, where we talk about faith, family, and finance. Download our podcasts at CatholicSpiritRadio.com.
Are you experiencing tensions and challenges in your marriage? Well, I want to assure you that this is normal. Due to our fallen human nature, ebbs and flows of tension are to be expected in marriage. In fact, these tensions and difficulties are to be embraced. Marriage is about love, and love can only be truly expressed. Love is only authentic through sacrifice. This is agape, the highest form of love. We are called to struggle to die to ourselves daily as Jesus died out of love for his spouse, the church. What a beautiful thing it is when one or both spouses take this approach, sacrificing, living by example, overlooking the perceived defects of the other, and loving with an unadulterated divine love. I'm Jim Littleton, formingfaithfulfamilies.com.